Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Tech Plus Plus. Today I'm with Aaron.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Good to be back.
And Andres's work has recently picked up and will be MIA in the meantime. But we do have a special guest today, Alejandra.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
Yeah, welcome. And thank you for joining us. So today we are here to talk about technology and agriculture with the help of Alejandra, then talk about the meaning of computer science. For those of you who still are telling me my computer isn't turning on, you're a computer major, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but before that, let's just talk a little bit about things that has happened in the past few weeks in the technology world. So the other day I woke up at 5 a.m.
Is that release time? Yeah.
Yeah, I woke up at 5 a.m. and to pre-order the new iPhone 12, as I like to call it, 11 Part 2. It's literally the same thing. The only reason I got it is because I actually have the 10 right now, the XL Max, whatever. So I never had the 11. I was gonna get the 11, but the 11 Part 2 came out, so I was like, well, might as well get 11 Part 2. But it was interesting because that night I actually had maybe like max 3 hours of sleep. It was like really hot. Then I was like, might as well just wake up and pre-order an iPhone. So,
Yeah. What
it,
are like the improvements? I feel like I haven't paid attention to new Apple iPhone releases in, gosh, years since like high school.
yeah. So like, the obvious one they do every year, which is like the camera.
Yeah.
A newer chip, which is like makes it faster, stronger. The glass on top now is, fuck, what is it called? I don't know. It's a harder
So,
glass.
it's not going to shatter when I drop
It's
it.
a I keep wanting to, fuck, I don't know why I'm keeping comparing it to the toilet tiles. What is the tile made out of?
I'm kind of lost with you there. It's just super
I
strong.
yeah, it's pretty strong. Anyways, it's pretty strong. But then they also added a LiDAR sensor, which I kind of knew it's coming because my iPad, the newer iPads, have a LiDAR sensor. So they added a LiDAR sensor, which is supposed to help not only with like augmented reality, which is interesting, but also with the camera, because now it can like this is one of the first phones ever apparently to be able to like completely take a picture at night and make it still like super beautiful. Because what they're doing is using the LiDAR sensor to track down wherever like where the object's at, so it can focus on it. So instead, because there's no light, right? So instead, it's using the sensor to figure out where everything's at, which is cool.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. A lot more
Yeah.
flexibility with what you can do with your phone.
And then there's like the kind of the more obvious cameras, like the ultra wide, and then I think like you can zoom in up to 2.9 times now, which last time was like 2.3 or some shit like that. Do not fact check me.
How much memory did you get?
I got the 128 because like thinking about it makes no fucking sense to get any more, especially now with Apple already like charging me $3, $4 for the cloud storage.
Which is,
Like there's
in my opinion, completely worth. I pay 50 cents to get, what is it, like 50 gigs? No, it's 99 cents. Oh,
yeah,
so
it's a
worth.
dollar.
Yeah.
Yeah, for $1 a month, fuck yeah, dude. It's
And
cool.
I wanted to touch on that as well. I just got my mom, my brother and I did like 128 iPhone SE. She had like an iPhone 5 back when you could still get an iPhone with 16 gigs. With
Wow.
16 gigs. She's like
Wow.
deleting pictures so that she could take more. I told her when I got it for her, you never have to delete a picture ever again.
It's funny because Alejandra the other day is like,
Oh
oh,
my
I'm
gosh.
paying. She's like, I'm paying the maximum amount of price for like the
Well,
monthly, and I
yeah,
still don't have enough storage.
I'm up at the 299 a month, and the next option up is the 999 family pack. So I'm like, I really don't need all that.
Yeah,
What do you just
that's
have hella pictures?
Yeah.
And then I told her, I was like, why don't you just like delete some? She's like, I can't. I was like, all right.
Like, that's my, that's like asking me to delete my life.
Jesus. Well, yeah. And it's a time investment. I mean, if you got so many of them.
Right, you have to go through
and pick the ones you want to delete. Funny.
Yeah.
I never thought about that until Ella brought it up too. I was like, well, why don't you just put it on your laptop? And then I was like, well, her laptop also uses the cloud. So it doesn't
even matter. Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
It is a whole thing. And it's super hard to control. My Mac is backed up to it too. And I can't control what gets backed up, what doesn't. It's really annoying.
Yeah. Anyways, cool. The second thing that I just wanted to bring up is, as I think I brought up last episode too, I've been building my PC. I feel like I had the time now, a bit of money in the bank and bored from coronavirus stuff. So I've been just like having this very expensive hobby of buying PC parts and putting them in my case in hopes that they work. So NVIDIA recently released their 30 series of graphics cards. And there has been a lot of issues. So there's like this tracker that shows like when they're in stock and when they sell out. And the tracker is insane because it shows that it starts in like, what is it? I think in like 3 or 4 minutes, they sell out, I want to say. Like the longest that I've seen one up was like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's what lag, right? Like by the time they say it's released, it's like already sold out, you know? The second issue they've been having is the people who do get their hands on it.
Imagine that. You spend all this money on a graphics card and it's like, you put it in, doesn't even work.
Yeah, exactly. It's because of, they gave them like these, these other companies like EVGA and all of them, they gave them like this little mapping of minimum requirement for the fans, minimum requirement for all these like components. And these fuckers like decided to go with the minimum. Because they, I guess, hoped that NVIDIA doesn't fuck up with their minimum requirements. So they went with the minimum and they put really cheap like capacitors on their graphics cards and they just crash. And
that's some stuff that you have to get like super exactly right and you have to have all this testing around it.
Exactly.
It's kind of rough that you get it and can't even
get it. Yeah, like I'm glad I didn't get it. I mean, I wish I could get one, but I don't have that fucking trigger finger of like 1.2 seconds. So we'll see. That's my gist of this part.
I'd like to address something too. We're pushing back recording a week. So you guys will be seeing this, I think, 4 weeks after episode 7. A lot is due to that, a little bit with, you know, Andres not being here. I had to move within this past couple weeks. Work has been, you know, just ramping up. So I think all of us collectively needed a break and to push it back out a week. So you'll be seeing this a week later than usual.
Yep. Yes, that is.
But true. Now back to, you know, regularly scheduled. I'm settling in a bit more, so that's nice. And I'm liking the new setup. There may be a little bit of an echo because my room's a little bit bigger. The recording studio, aka my room, it is a little bigger, so might get a little bit of echo. So sorry for that.
Yeah, there might. Yeah, this episode might have a bit of echo. Next episode, hopefully we can.
Right, and I don't have the professional mics like y'all.
Okay, so let's just jump into the actual episode. I'll go ahead and start.
Yeah.
Let's start with Alejandra, actually. Go ahead and so I have like a list of questions, a couple of questions, not a lot, but we can get pretty dive deep yeah, into them.
Deep dive
into them. into the Yeehaw world. So we're gonna go ahead and Alejandra, go ahead and introduce yourself and
So I'm here, give us a bit of background. Explain how your wizardry combines with the agriculture industry. And for yeah. my background, I actually grew up in a very rural town surrounded by agriculture. Like, literally, my town is Tule Lake, a very small town on the border of California and Oregon. It's about 6 by 7 blocks, like the actual town itself. Oh, wow. And then everything else is surrounding it is agriculture. Our main commodities are alfalfa, grain, frying potatoes, onions for processing, strawberries, and horseradish. Actually, if you go to a any grocery store and you go to the horseradish section, you might be able to see Tule Lake horseradish. That's what we're known for. I was also heavily involved in FFA, which is Future Farmers of America, and it's a national organization for high school students and some college students. And within this organization, I actually became a state champion in 3 different competitions: vegetable crop judging, agronomy, and pest control management. Of those 3 competitions, agronomy was the only one that was a national competition. So my team later went on to place 3rd at nationals in 2016, which is my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And how I met y'all at Chico State, I earned my degree, a bachelor's of science in agricultural education and sciences, with a focus in plant and soil science. And for the last 8-ish years before I got into what I'm currently doing, I was heavily involved in agriculture. So that's a little bit of my background in the agriculture industry.
Yeah, you seem to have a lot of accolades already. I'm glad we get the opportunity to tap into some of your knowledge.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, this actually came up a while back, because it seems like agriculture is using a lot of technology that a lot of people mm-hmm. don't really see or understand. And we'll jump into this a little bit maybe later. But for example, my own company has ties with a lot of agricultural companies. But we can jump in that a bit. But my next question is, how has the agriculture industry evolved and become more productive because of new technology?
The first and I think biggest way that technology has been integrated into the agriculture industry is biotech. And an example of biotech is GMOs. And GMOs are genetically modified organisms. They can be plants, animals, microorganisms, whose genetic material has been altered in a way that does not occur naturally. And that's
so like in a lab or
precisely. So there are some genetic, mutations and, crossing of crops and species that does occur naturally, in the wilderness.
Yeah.
But GMO technology, is done typically in a lab to introduce individual genes from one organism to another, or even cross species.
That's actually very interesting. I think there is a lot of misunderstanding about GMOs. Because I feel like everywhere I see, it's turning into a more of a marketing thing. Like even on water, they might put no GMOs. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sure. And I think
yeah.
a lot of this misconception and negative attitudes towards GMOs are from media and organizations that will stamp, the GMO labeling on things that would never, ever have GMOs in the first place. So because mm-hmm. it says GMO free right. on a label, people assume, GMOs must be bad.
And I guess another question about that GMO, since you brought it up, do companies have to say if something
if has it GMO is a GMO product? GMO? It doesn't necessarily have to be labeled like this is a GMO, but it can't have the GMO free label.
Well, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But you get choice and turn anything you want, really.
Yeah. But there are actually a lot of benefits to GMOs. For example, herbicide resistance, insect resistance, drought resistance, and herbicide resistance is basically, so are y'all familiar with like Roundup? Have y'all heard that before?
I've just heard a lot of controversy.
Yeah. So the active ingredient in it is glyphosate. Hmm. And basically what Roundup does, if you spray it like on weeds or crops, it's going to kill everything you spray. So herbicide resistance comes in as a genetic trait because when you genetically modify a crop seed to be glyphosate resistant, you can actually spray parts of your field and it will only kill the weeds because the crop has been genetically modified to withstand the active ingredient of Roundup, which is glyphosate.
So does this, I mean, there's all this about how Roundup can cause like health problems. I guess that's where like a lot of the stigma comes in. So does that herbicide resistance help or?
You know, there's like withdrawal periods for any, if we want to compare it to like medication. Mm-hmm. You can't like spray a crop and then deliver it to a grocery store the day after, right? So there has to be a period of time for the I guess chemicals to wash out and leave the crop before it's safe to consume.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and in terms of other modifications, there's insect resistance. So there's some insects, for example, like the Asian citrus psyllid, which has the potential to, it's an insect, by the way, has the potential to wipe out the entire citrus industry. So in order to prevent things like this, we genetically modify crops to actually repel insects to prevent agriculture economic collapse like that.
Yeah, a lot of these changes, I guess, seems to move towards feeding millions and millions and millions of people consistently year after year.
And that goes into my next point, actually, with drought resistance. We're able to produce crops with less and less water because of the way it's been genetically modified. And I do think that this has the potential to at least get our foot in the door for solving world hunger, because for developing regions of the world, like sub-Saharan Africa, they rely on rain to feed their agriculture. So they don't have water readily available. So we genetically modify like rice, for example, which is a staple food, for them, that can survive and actually thrive with less and less water.
Now, does that, take away from nutrient value that you're, you know, receiving from food or?
No, actually we can actually, modify crops to have more nutritional value.
Okay.
And do you know, this might be a bit off topic, but do you know what is the technology behind that? How do they do this? Is this more towards like our type of technology?
That is out of my scope.
Okay. Yeah. That's all right.
I guess like my question is like, do they use like actual like computers and stuff, or is it just like more of like a biotech thing? Like, I don't fucking really know biotech. Like,
that's
put two and two together.
Very great question. definitely out of my realm of knowledge. But I would imagine that they use some sort of, computer systems.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Touched on crops, right? But they can also be used in animals. So
I was gonna actually ask that
for
as
example,
well, yeah.
cattle, you know, some are pulled and non-pulled. And what pulled means is that a cattle would have horns. And for safety purposes, some have been genetically modified to not have horns,
Oh man.
to be non-pulled,
God, that's so
and
creepy.
combine the best of both worlds, in a sense, with dairy cattle and meat cattle. So, for example, Angus cattle, they have the best meat quality. On the other hand, there's other cattle that have better milk quality. So when you combine the best genes of both, you get a cattle with the best meat and milk quality. And that just turns into actual capital for the farmer.
This actually, sorry, before I move on, gives me the jitters a bit, because you said like they can genetically modify like a cattle to not have horns, right? And that's completely safe. And how is, I guess my question is like, what if they start doing that on like humans?
That's
Or
a
have
whole
do
nother rabbit hole.
But that's the thing though, like if it's
And
so safe and it seems like it's working for animals,
why not do it
it's
for humans?
exactly, it's so creepy to think about, because there has to be, right? Like some testing sites that are testing
It
like
on humans.
genetically modifying humans. Kind of creepy.
I mean, you gotta think humans are a little bit more complex. And you gotta, especially with stigmatization around, like, I don't know, probably suffrage and stuff like that. You have no idea what you're doing. And people
Exactly.
care
I feel
more
like,
about a human life than a cattle life.
yeah, but I guess that's why I asked if it is safe, as in like, I mean, they wouldn't do this to a cattle if they knew the cattle would die early,
Right.
right?
Are you
Because
sure about that?
yeah, because
It doesn't pay
exactly
to have
a dead
like
cattle.
to have the bad genes. So
Exactly. So it's that's what I'm trying to say, is that like I don't think anyone would go out of their way to say, oh, genetically modify my cattle to have XYZ genes, and it dies. You know what I mean? That's a lot of money gone. So I'm sure
we
that
still need
it's
the
safe enough.
testing.
Right. But I'm sure the testing's already done. What I'm trying to say is that like I believe it's stable enough now for animals that if they knew there's it's gonna be harm, the people who are farmers wouldn't ask for that. You know what I mean? Like as a farmer, I wouldn't want to risk losing a cattle or not having a cattle because I wanted to not fucking have horns. I don't know.
Yeah, but you
But
gotta think there's plenty of them that are like, okay, let me try this thing out because if it happens, then I can, make a lot off of it.
yeah, and I think that's precisely what does happen, is farmers see, the potential problems that they have with certain genetics, and they will try to take that out or even breed it out. So breeding is actually another way that you can control diseases and illnesses within herds.
Like selective
Interesting.
breeding.
Yeah, and like artificial insemination.
Interesting. That's cool.
Right, so that's just overall one way that technology has merged with the agriculture industry. Another way is equipment. There's been so many transformative, different types of technology that have really made an impact and a difference in the agriculture industry. For example, autonomous farming vehicles. They're basically driverless farm vehicles. It's like the Tesla of farming.
Does it excite you all?
Yeah, it does. But basically, farmers are able to do things like plowing, planting, cultivating, fertilizing, harvesting, and even like hauling materials with literally no driver.
Yeah. So here's something to think about then is like this, I'm assuming, is going to be heavily reliant on GPS. And right. We, you know, everybody wants to incorporate GPS in their apps. I mean, Google is tracking every move. Cool. We all know that. But I guess something you wouldn't really think about is if any GPS system were to go down, like especially in the United States, we would have a total like agriculture collapse. It would actually be insane. We right. would not be able to feed millions of people.
Right. And that's like, imagine you, so you're remote controlling this tractor and the GPS just stops working in the middle of your field or like in the middle of a road, that could have
massive yeah. implications to both sure. business and like safety. Famine. Yeah.
Yeah. GPS systems are actually like getting better and better, right? Like geolocation. I don't think it's called like GPS systems as much anymore because geolocation is more of the sensors that are being used on where things are and et cetera. It's actually an interesting topic to get into because the company that I work for example, we had a talk about like the new technologies that are coming out using our data and sensors and stuff like that. One of their examples was actually for a herd of sheep. And they said that they actually put sensors on these sheeps. And I'm gonna keep saying sheeps, man. It's so weird that the plural of sheep is sheep to me. English.
It's even weirder that it's a flock of sheep. I've never
heard. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a flock or a herd.
A herd of sheep. So they put the sensor on a single sheep and basically to figure out where they are in a herd using geolocation, like I said. And they actually also use the data to know where the babies are or I guess more accurately when one sheep will have a baby. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, Galip, what I've heard is they actually have, it's actually a big issue in the industry that the babies die pretty early on because they either get lost in the herd or someone doesn't know that the sheep is about to give deliver.
Right. So there could be like several implications in terms of like not monitoring when a lamb is born.
That's so, what the baby's called.
Yeah, that's what the baby's called. for example, they could get lost or they're not receiving the adequate nutrition. So they'll die.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So it's actually pretty cool. So they use data to estimate or I guess predict when the lamb will be born. And they get some sort of alert. Like you can write an application on top of that, right? Like when the data hits et cetera points, send me an alert and then give me the exact geolocation of that sheep and lamb. And they can go out there and help the mom either deliver or save the lamb, which is very, very interesting to me.
Man, who would ever think of that? Talk about having a problem and needing a solution. That's exactly. Just crazy.
Yeah. And then the second one that I also thought would be really interesting, Ollie, what is that really famous truck company or tractor, company?
John Deere.
Caterpillar, Case IA.
There we go. Caterpillar. So Caterpillar actually is one of our bigger clients. I actually heard a lot of examples within our company about what they do. So it's actually super interesting because if you think about it, Caterpillar like tires are huge, right? Like they're gigantic. And those tires are literally specialized builds. They're not like mass produced or anything. So therefore they're super expensive. They're like from what I understand is like $15,000 to $20,000. And in the past, the way they change these tires is they give it a life cycle. Like maybe after 2 years, we change it. right? But that's not effective enough, right? Because what if in that 2 years that track day didn't even run? Or what if in that 2 years it ran every second and it breaks down earlier? You know what I mean? So what they did, they actually have sensors inside of these tires that keeps track of its mileage, its health, and everything. And they actually change it when the sensor kind of tells them it's time to change it, which has saved lots and lots and lots of money for Caterpillar.
Really? So
Right, but go ahead, Aaron.
it's just crazy how much like data you're collecting there, because you
Correct.
have to store it somewhere and you got to look through it and be able to interpret it. It's an insane amount of data if you really sit down and think about it.
Yeah, it is. It's over millions and millions, terabytes of data. So.
That's wild that I feel like there's so much data being created that they're actually having to come up with new names for the amount.
Oh yeah.
Ridiculous.
There's a lot of like size terabytes, and I don't even know what's after that, but yeah, I'm sure it's peaking whatever after terabyte is.
A
Megabytes.
quick Google.
No, megabytes taken too, damn.
Yeah, so another equipment company that's doing well in technology is Case IH, and that's the company that has I guess the most advanced autonomous tractors to date. So again, they're like the Teslas of farming. You can remote control them from like an iPad or a portable tablet. You can select like which vehicle you want to use that day to go in a specific field, and using GPS program a specific route that you want this vehicle to take. And this is especially important with time of day for certain crops that just do better when they're harvested in cooler temperatures, like at night or specific times of the day, for example. And like I said,
Really?
there's no actual operator needed. So this significantly reduces the amount of manual labor needed
Yeah.
for things like harvest. And this tractor has obstacle detection that enables it to stop and wait for obstacles to be cleared before continuing on routes, or it would completely stop and send you like real-time alerts with cameras on board, so you can see exactly like where the tractor is and what you would see if you were in actually operating the
The
vehicle.
oh shit button. It sounded more and
Yeah.
more like a robot dog, like fucking eh.
Yeah, so it's just amazing to see how technology is evolving in general, but how it's affecting the way that we do agricultural practices.
I guess I have a question about that as well. Like, how do you feel about all these new technologies coming out with like artificial intelligence, like you said, and stuff like that? Because that's taking away from jobs, right? And that is a huge deal to a lot of people that, oh, computers are here to take our jobs and they replace us and we're gonna have less jobs because they'll be replaced with a robot.
I
How do you
was gonna
feel
say
about that?
that. Like, you're just automating jobs away.
Yeah,
Yeah.
so I think so there's two sides to that coin, right? So I think technology like GPS is like making a huge impact on the agriculture industry. It also reduces the amount of tractor use needed for certain crops, and will reduce the emissions that contribute to global warming or soil impacts like compaction. And this is called basically precision agriculture, where do precise farming practices to maximize inputs and minimize the impact on the environment. So I do think that technologies are doing a really good job of making us more sustainable and more environmentally friendly as an industry. However, the other side of that coin is that, yes, we are replacing manual labor with robots, essentially. And technology has evolved so much that less and less labor is needed. For example, weeding, transplanting, harvesting. We have sensors now that detect foreign crops that can take them out of the ground. So way faster than a human could. There are machines that put seedlings in the ground 10 times faster than human hands. And now there's advancements in harvest technology that reduce mechanical damage and can harvest in half the time. And by the way, mechanical damage is like when a head of lettuce is harvested by hand and it's cut the wrong way. It makes it less eye appealing at the grocery store, for example, and that's what mechanical damage is.
Can affect yields.
Right. So there's, you know, there's definitely the pros and cons with agriculture technology.
Well, if I could just put something, there's definitely the argument that the argument exists that, like, yes, you're automating jobs away, but you're creating jobs in a new space. Mm-hmm. And a lot of this lends to, I guess, throwing more manpower, brain power at solving more problems or having a, what would you call it? Like a higher, like a harder job for people to like excel as a society, right? Or right. Like people within the industry to like start learning more or like a new trade, not new trade, but like a new skill.
See, I think I know what you're saying here, and I actually was about to bring that up too. Like my argument is similar as well, that sure, it's taking jobs away, but at the end of the day, I feel like you need to have some sort of background in agriculture to know exactly how to operate these machines, mm-hmm. right? Like you need to know exactly like when to place them or the configurations and et cetera, et cetera. It's just, I feel like people misunderstand AIs with like, oh, it's going to do everything by itself. That's not how it works. You need to give it some sort of direction, right? You need to tell it when it's doing the right thing and when it's doing the wrong thing. Like, for example, you said about the obstacles earlier, about the cameras seeing exactly what you would have seen if you're driving it. Well, someone needs to be there to be able to fix that issue or be able to operate or et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's just doing a shift in someone's task. Like you would be sitting behind a computer more than going out into the field and doing those things. But still, I feel like you would need some sort of agricultural background to do those things. I think this is a really cool time to let our audience know that we're going to be interviewing more and more people from different industries, because I'm personally feeling like we're getting to a point in our lives and the future, what it's going to be holding is the fact that there's going to be a lot of mergers between industries and technology, because what's happening now is just making the job easier for example, a farmer, but by making them an office worker, basically, right? Like they have to just sit behind a computer to make sure that it's operating right and et cetera.
Well, yeah, that and you free up all these people because you're freeing up so much creativity for them to think.
Exactly. To do other things, yeah. Or expand.
Exactly. And that's very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just like Ola said, would be like, and it's not like a downturn either. It seems like it's doing a lot better than doing it by hand anyways, you know what I mean? That means more profit, so mm-hmm. with less time,
right? And I think this is especially important because our population is increasing. Oh, yeah. Whether we like to realize it or not, global warming is happening, whether we like to realize it or not. And we have to provide food for people, for a growing population of people with less land, less water, mm-hmm. less resources. And I wholeheartedly believe that the agriculture industry is the only career pathway that is absolutely essential to life. Yep. We need food, we need water, we need shelter. All of that comes from agriculture. And I think people fail to realize the importance of this work and of agriculture to the existence of humanity.
I definitely have to agree with you there. Like during all this pandemic stuff a couple months ago, and then like tornado season hitting the Midwest, and like how what was it, like Iowa or something, like the biggest corn producer in the U.S.
Yeah,
and just like all that going down, it's like, oh, you're gonna run out of grain, United States, you're gonna run out. It's just crazy.
That's good. Yeah, one last question. I guess we should look at the other side of what we talked about, because we just keep saying how technology is so amazing, but what is the problems with technology? What is the other side of the coin?
Right. So with technology in general, I think that a problem is that it's not very accessible to smaller farmers that have less acreage. And a lot of the times this technology isn't worth it for the amount of acreage. So it's just very expensive and sometimes not very available to some farmers.
That's definitely a problem with technology in many, many industries is like, yeah, you could get this really awesome product, but it's really optimal in settings where either you have a lot going on, like data handling. Yeah, if you have a ton of data, like you might as well pay for the service from a company that specializes in doing that thing. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you're like some smaller maybe app or whatever it is, you should do it on your own because it's cheaper and you can do it in-house.
Right, and that's literally the same concept in agriculture. So overall, technology obviously has many benefits, but there are a few drawbacks.
Yeah, I think I learned a lot from this, especially about the GMO thing. It's crazy.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. That was actually really interesting. Of course. I learned a lot as well. But you should stick around for the second part. I can roast you a little bit. Okay. So we can shift gears to Aaron now. But first, I think I need to restart my computer, turn it off and on again, because...
Yeah,
my screen is not showing up.
Yeah. So after turning it on and off again, maybe you should unplug it for 10 seconds and then plug it back in.
And then plug it back in. And then maybe, I don't know, just throw it away, buy a new one. I don't know.
Yeah.
But after you
do a factory reset.
Yes.
Okay. So a little salty commentary there, but.
but wait, Aaron, yeah. I have a question. Can we create an app? Because I have an app idea.
Jesus Christ. Let's not tilt too hard over here. The segment will be a little salty, but I've seen a lot of memes recently around, because I see a lot of like programming related memes. I think that's synonymous with what I do, but a lot of memes center around like what programmers or what people think programmers and computer science people do versus like what we actually do. So I wanted to formally address it in my segment here. So computer science and programming, like what we do versus what people think we do. And I wanted to, you know, you may think computer science is more of like they're just programming or whatever it is, IT. That's like a huge one. But it's more about the theoretical side of like algorithms, computing, computational problems, data analysis, and data handling, stuff like that. And so I wanted to take us through like our computer science degree that Ollie and I went through at Chico, because it gives you a look into the breadth of the topics that you go through in a computer science degree. So the very first things you usually start off with are data structures and algorithms. These are just the basics of programming and like kind of how you interact with your computer at the command line. The command line, for people who don't know, is just a, how would you explain it best, Ali?
So it's like the bare bones of how computers work, I want to say. Like, and if you want to visualize it, think about any fucking hacker movie that has computers involved. It's the little application they bring up, and it's like either black and the writings are either white or green for some reason every time.
Yeah, like every time.
Why can I imagine that in a movie right now?
Exactly. So that, but I swear to God, it's just regular shit. Like
it helps copying.
It's literally like it's the bare bones of like imagine if you want to copy a file, right? Or download a file or something, right?
Or move a file instead of, to a folder.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you want to think about it this way, it's like if you move file A from position X to Y, right? Like moving a file from a folder to another folder, in the back end, what you don't see is that it's actually doing a command line prompt. And yeah, that's what Aaron's explaining. So for example, you can just say CP, which stands for copy, and then you say file from file A to file B. It does the same exact thing. It's just more for the programmers, so we don't have to like actually physically do it. And it's because of the fact that like
it's quicker.
It's quicker. And also like you physically doing it in the back end, that's already happening. So why not for us to just actually go back and do that? It has nothing to do with, what I actually get a lot when I have the command prompt open, thanks to all of them, is she says, I actually heard that a lot, like even on my like Snapchat whenever I send a story. They're like, oh, this looks like what I see when I see like when
programming moves.
When my computer crashes.
Oh Jesus.
Yes, that is exactly precisely what you see when your computer crashes, because it's getting to the bare bones. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Fucking crashing my computer.
Yeah, you can use it to get like system information. You use it to run programs. All this fantastic stuff that you don't really need if you're not like writing code or doing something with hacking.
Exactly. So it's basically we do it so you don't have to kind of.
Well, we do it out of accessibility, but yeah. Another thing that we learned about is databases, like how to store data, how to query data, how to represent a large amount of data to make educated observations. I think that's one of the most important jobs today with how much data we have, is just interpreting data and making educated observations. That's why, Google has the best ads for you, because they have a lot of data about you. Very scary, but moving forward. Parallel programming, how to run tasks in parallel. It's kind of crazy how you can make something that takes, I don't know, an hour, take 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. It's an insane thing to think about.
Real quick about the parallel programming. Just a quick thing is that for those of you who don't know, the way it works is basically for all of it.
Yeah.
So how it works is that computer has a brain, aka the CPU.
Mm-hmm.
And the CPUs are getting better year after year after year. And each CPU has its own threads and cores, right? So meaning it can think multiple things at the same time. The way to think about this is like opening 10 tabs on your Chrome or web browser of your choice, right? So if you're watching a movie on one browser and then on another browser you're working on your homework, and another browser you're doing something else, right? The brain is actually splitting the task into three, for example, right? Yes. So it's getting better and better and better. So what we learned in that class is how do we tell, for example, the brain, hey, do this now while you're doing this, do this on another thread or in another web browser. You know what I mean? Like, watch this movie here and now do this. We learned how to control that to effectively bring the speed, like Aaron said, from an hour to 30 seconds. It's because instead of me saying, like, I don't know how other examples, but like imagine like watching a movie that's an hour long, right? I could either watched a movie back to back for an hour long, right? Or open 10 or 6 browsers and let the movie run for like 10 minutes in each browser. You know what I mean? 10-minute segments.
I think a lot of that class is understanding what can be run in parallel and what can't be run in parallel.
Mm-hmm. It's really important.
There's a lot of nitty gritty there, which is a little bit high level for what we're talking about today.
I think it's very, very, it's one of the most important things that I have done in my job. I want to say parallel programming.
Really?
Because especially like, I think it's in my daily work that we have to think about how to be parallelize something. It's because of the fact that it's a lot harder than you think, because there's a locking system. Like you can't, two people can't use the same data, right? Like if me and Aaron are writing it on Word document together, or like the Google Sheets together, for example, right? We need to talk about it. Like Aaron, you write the first paragraph, I write the second paragraph, right? I can't just be like, let's work on it, and we both write the first paragraph. Do you guys see that? You know what I mean? Like, then that's an issue, because we just both did the same exact thing and it's not useful. So it's like, it's become like a huge deal for us, especially like since I work in the back end, you need to be able to maximize your time.
Yeah, with your server.
Right? Because imagine you go into Google and you search for something and it takes you one year for your search result to come. You know what I mean? There's so much data that it might take about a year. But because of parallel programming, it happens within seconds. Right?
Just because of how much data they have to
go through, exactly.
This is a very deep subject, but you're going to see that all of these that I'm about to bring up are very deep subjects.
Yeah.
So the next class we went into was compilers, which our professor made his own programming language. And what the compiler does is it reads the code you write, and interprets it and runs it according to how the language works. So our professor, just to make it clear, he made his own computer language, like his own programming language, and then he had his students for their project over the course of the class write the tool that interprets that code and runs it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was such a foreign concept to us when we were going through it. But it's very fundamental to how we work every day. Mm-hmm. Very crazy. We went through web development. That's pretty self-explanatory, but we had a class dedicated to it. We went through software engineering, which is a class that's supposed to prepare you for working with others on a project.
Aaron didn't like the class. I did. I promise I liked the class.
Yeah, I was not a big fan of that class, even though we had a really good project. I just don't, after being in industry now, I just don't think it was a very accurate representation of working in a team.
I think there was a lot of helpful parts, especially with agile programming and concepts. I learned a lot with that. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, to each his own, but I've heard very mixed reviews on that one. But in either case, that's still a very big area of computer science.
Yep.
Another one we took on was theory of computing. And this class was like solely based on systematically solving, like going through and solving medium to advanced level programming problems. Mm-hmm. Which, and we had, she was Ukrainian. I don't know. Our yeah. teacher was very tough on us and like expected a lot, but it made us learn a lot in the process. But that class was like minimal on the coding and more about like mathematically going and solving a problem step by step and being very accurate about every single step.
Yeah, that one was a lot more conceptual and a lot more like thinking wise. Like you had to actually think a lot about what you're doing. For example, like finding the shortest path between two points.
Oh, like Google Maps. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Like Google Maps. And then you, not only she wanted you to do that, because you can simply just say anything and like, you know what I mean? Go from this street to this street to this street and it could take you to a circle until you get there. But it needs to be not only the shortest path, it has to be the fastest path. And also it has to be programmatically the best way to do it. You know what I mean? Least amount of code, best like way to do it. It was just like literally the code had to be perfect.
And for every problem that she brought up, there was one twist that made it different from the last one. So it was just like, it was so hard to get through.
Man. Yeah. Now, like, imagine like having to do that on a piece of paper. Like she gives it to you in a piece of paper and you're like, oh my God.
Like, you have to write out, here's what I do first. And then here's the second step. Yeah. And then you have to have like some sort of mathematical representation about what you're doing. Oh man, you're triggering me. Rough.
y'all don't miss being in the classroom.
No, I do not, sir. I'm getting tripped. We can move on.
Yeah, seriously. Although all of you are sitting in a different type of classroom now.
Yeah, exactly.
So another one we went through, operating systems. I mean, it's just like we learned about very low level and high level about how your computer handles like running different processes. Like if I wanted to run Spotify and Minecraft at the same time, like how it would share the resources. And we learned about like how your computer stores files. Because that's like, you guys would have no idea, but there are so many freaking different ways you can store files on your computer. It's absolutely absurd.
Computer is so fucking hard.
Like, I just try shit works.
I'm honestly sitting here listening and I'm like, what the
heck? Yeah, computer is like such a huge and hard concept. And the fact that like people on the front end, like what they receive, right, it's so like easy to them. Well, and it pisses me off where someone's like, when someone's like, oh, I pressed this button and it didn't log me out. Well whoop-de-doo, like the fucking program works, deal with it.
For those of you who don't know, front-end programming is working on the part of a website that you can see.
Yeah, so basically like what you see every day in front, like when you use Facebook, when you especially like TikTok, which stayed. when you watch YouTube, for example, right? Like everything as a user that you click and stuff like that, it's not that easy. In the background, it's so much going on. So much. Literally, yeah. There's people stressing in their companies that you fucking get to watch another episode of PewDiePie while they're like stressing about, oh my God, what if their like video drops?
So yeah, absolutely insane there. I took a class called Programming Languages where we went over different types of programming language because, yes, there are like multiple different ways you can do things and write code. You're not just writing like not everybody's writing in the same way, obviously. Shell scripting, which goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the segment with like maneuvering through your computer and at the command line. Shell scripting helps you automate a lot of that stuff. Like, oh, I get this certain type of file. Let me just put it in my downloads folder automatically. Mm-hmm. Pretty powerful stuff what you can do there. We took a computer security class, and how I describe this is if you never want to use technology again, you take this class. Because
and I took the advanced one, so
that class just like it felt like an episode of Scared Straight.
No, definitely. Yeah, it is a scary class to take. I think the first one was a bit less scary, or the first one or the non-advanced one was more scary, I want to say, because we talked about more of like the concepts and what can be hacked and what can't be hacked. And no, I cannot hack shit for you. Please do not contact me. But the more advanced one was more of more or less. Never mind. I lied. It was fucking scary. It was more like. More like, oh, let's fucking hack our school's Wi-Fi, which was kind of crazy. So.
Yeah, there's like, I guess the way you can be most secure, you go to your router and you unplug it.
So, no, that's not enough even anymore. You get your phone and you throw that away too.
No, I was gonna say you get a flip phone.
You get a flip phone. Yes, Jaime at Jaime.
Yeah. God, what a legend.
So then like I'm at risk for being hacked because I have smart devices.
Yeah, and let me ask you, are you on the latest version of iOS?
I think.
And is your Mac up to what's the latest? Because my Mac isn't.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Well, good on you.
I'll hack you after this.
Yeah. That's how it works. Exactly. I'm not telling you guys what which what is it, OS Sierra? I don't know, but all of this stuff is super relevant to you getting hacked. Also, if you get a text with a link from a random number, please don't click that shit. Also, emails, please look at the sender address. Like, they put in the subject like a regular address, but then there's one after that. Please look at that shit. It's like so telling to when you're getting a scam email versus
right. For my job, we actually did a training on like security and like phishing.
I got one from FedEx the other day and I was like, holy shit, I almost clicked on that link. That was such a good, like,
I don't know. I feel like to the untrained eye, me.
Yeah.
That would just look like a regular ass email. So
no,
like,
yeah, a lot of like almost every company does that now. That it's kind of mandatory because it's so easy when it comes to like link wise. I think that's probably the easiest way to hack someone.
Yeah,
just like you click on a link and they just download all your shit from that.
Yeah,
because you give them permission by clicking it. You know.
Yeah, it's awful. Absolutely awful practice. That's
so scary.
But it's like the easiest way. Another thing that I've heard about from other companies, like they'll send scamming emails to their employees, but they'll also, like, in the office, they'll leave a USB drive laying around for you to plug it in. And if you plug it in, that's like an automatic no-no. Like, please, if you find a random like memory device, throw it away. You don't want any of that. You do not want any of that.
Honestly, like, from what I've heard, the best case is to report it. Like give it to some security person, like a computer security person, because they do want to see if maybe an attacker actually left it there. You know what I mean? A real attacker left it there.
Yeah.
And they can track it back, if anything. So it would be better to go into an offensive mode than just throw it away and just...
But please do not look at it yourself.
Or don't, yeah. Don't, do not plug it in. I guess, I think it's a perfect timing to get into, like, what Aaron and I can't fucking do.
Yeah. Yeah. So the point with all of that was computer science is very broad. So we can go into like what people do versus what we actually do. So those of you, my friends, I'm sorry if I'm going to roast you on this, but who talk about your app ideas. Like, I've had many friends and random people, you know, say, so I have this app or website idea. And, you know, that's great and all. I mean, if you have a little bit of research on, like, maybe the technologies you want to use and how you'd handle certain specific things, that'd be nice. And I'd be more interested in a conversation with you about how it would work. But, like, the way it goes right now is... You give me the idea. I think about every way that it could possibly be done. And then I think about like how I would never want to do it.
See, it's actually even more interesting because like a lot of people that do come to me with their quote unquote app idea, which is fucking Uber, but for trucks. it's so like, I don't even know how to say this, but like, it's so weird to me because like, companies like they think oh, this is how companies start, by saying, oh, I have an app idea, and they tell a software developer, hey, can you make me this app, and they make money out of it. Sir, no, we get paid for this shit. And if your app idea is good enough, go ahead and be the businessman you want to be and bring in funding, pay me, and then I'll tell you I can't do it.
And then I'll tell you, yeah.
It's like, do not, it's just so like, I don't know. I sometimes I'm not offended if the app idea is decent.
Well, that and you like have a little bit of knowledge about what you'd
be talking about. Yeah. Bro, oh my God. Don't even start that. Like, some people ask for some shit that's just not even possible. Like, like sure, it is possible, dude, but maybe if we work on this for like 20 years,
it would,
and by then Google already doesn't make that. Like, It's just, man, I don't know. Well, let's just move before I
think there's just misconceptions with all jobs, right? Like, every time I would tell people, like, hey, I'm majoring in agriculture, they'd be like, oh, so you want to be a farmer? Like, no, I don't. There's so many things that you can do within agriculture. I want to be an agriculture teacher to promote agriculture literacy. Doesn't mean I'm going to be out in the field.
I think that is a more of a gray area, because if someone comes up to me and is like, oh, so you want to be a IT person, sure, I will be a bit of a but I'll be like, no, I'm going to be a software developer. But when they come to you straight, head on, telling you, hey, can you fucking hack my ex's Facebook and unblock me? Like, no, sir, I cannot hack shit.
We'll get to that in a little bit. But I wanted to touch a little bit more on the app ideas. Like, some of my friends ask, like, oh, yeah, we just want something simple, like, you know, like Instagram without all of the features that they've added, like the Snapchat stories and stuff like that. Like, oh, yeah, something simple like that. What people fail to understand is, if you're a programmer, like, not everybody has the knowledge to do, like, login stuff, because you have to make sure your stuff's secure and, like, you're using good practices there and, like, oh, you want to have people pay on your website? Well, you have to incorporate a payment system, and I've never done anything like that. There's so many more components that you think it doesn't take that much time, but this is really like what you just talked to me about, you think can be done in a couple months, whereas I'm like, this is most likely going to take around a year if you had a good team, not just one.
And also, I've someone close to me, not far away from me, one time asked me to create them a program, like an application, and they were like, oh, and then I was like, I guess I'm kind of interested, sure, because they're a little bit more serious, they were already a business, developed business, they had the money, and I was like, sure, maybe, I just have to see, like, your requirements, how's it going, blah blah blah.
Requirements are the best that you're never
gonna get. And it just got, like, literally they lost me at, oh yeah, we want this app within the next 2 months. I'm like, all right, cool. Then go ahead and hire 200 people and give them.
Not your guy.
I was literally said that. I was like, oh, you might need a team of at least 10 people, and you might need to tell them that they need to work 12-hour shift for the next 2 months to maybe give you like a beta version of what you're looking for.
That's gonna be like not really ready to use.
Like, not at all. Like a minimum, I want to say, for a program would be, like, especially that magnitude would be a year minimum. And that is just for the beta, just to see, is it even possible?
Just, it's so funny in relation to that stuff, because you never know what goes on under the hood, and you don't know.
And people get offensive too. Like, it's just so discouraging. People do get offensive when you tell them, like, no, like, I don't think I can do that. And they're like, oh, didn't you go to school for that? Isn't that your major? No, fuck you. You know?
Well, I think the biggest thing with me is I think about every way that it could be done and then deciding why it's a shit idea. And then I'm like,
you spend your time, like,
politely spend 2 hours.
Yeah. Spend 2 hours. Okay.
Yeah. And then another thing that, oh my gosh, I don't know how many people are like very, have done this, but people who ask you for help with their computer problems is just like the most ridiculous. Like, what do you think I do? Like, if I were to be an IT person, I would have not gone computer science.
It's completely different.
Yeah.
It's completely different. I think even with IT, it's more having the knowledge of the front end of this software and a bit of hardware information.
Oh yeah.
And like, because there was a major, right, in our school, computer information systems. I feel like those people more or less become the IT people because of the fact that they know a bit more about the actual, how the computer works and stuff like that, versus what we do, ladies and gentlemen, is write programs, and that is it.
Well, yeah, and we do that. We solve really hard problems in relation to computing. Stuff like that. Whereas an IT person, they're going to know more about networking and how to set up your overall internet infrastructure. Mm-hmm. Or
I guess a good way of thinking about this is that computers are like a piece of puzzle, right? Aaron and I's jobs is to put the pieces of the puzzle together to like make it work, and the IT person's job is to find a missing piece of puzzle or say why a piece of puzzle is broken. I don't know why it's broken, and I have no fucking idea where it's at, and I'm
Yeah.
not going to look for it, and nor I'm going to try to fix it. I'm just going to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
And I guess something that you got to realize is like in many fucking situations, I know just as much about your computer as
Exactly.
you do when you're
Exactly.
encountering a problem. Like literally
Exactly.
just for the love of God, Google it. Just
Yes.
Google it.
Our companies have IT departments. That's exactly, here's another example of how I don't know IT stuff. We have an IT department within our company that is completely different with our software development like part. And if anything happens with my computer, literally me, who's supposed to be like smart with computers, messages them saying, hey, what the fuck is going on?
Yes.
And 99% of the time, the answer is, have you tried turning it off and on again?
It. But like, yeah, we have to go to other people to solve problems. Well, and I'll give a caveat to that. And I realize that a lot of this problem is having the confidence to find a proper solution on Google and understand what you're doing. I don't have as much confidence, going into solving a computer problem when I encounter one as like another person. I have more than just like the average person. But yes, when I run into a computer problem, I'm gonna Google it and try a bunch of shit out. And if I break it more, I'm just gonna keep trying to fix it because it's my computer, it's my hardware. I'm not going to Google all the problems on your computer and try to potential or and try to fix it because I could potentially break your shit further. So you just need to honestly just nut up and pay a professional to fix your shit because I can't
See,
do it
that's the thing, even with my like family too, right? Like I always get contacted by like my immediate family saying, hey, my internet's not working, or hey, my computer's not turning on. And I try to not get offended, or I try to explain to them, I have no idea. I know same amount as you do,
for you. Yeah.
but at the same time, they kind of go with the fact that like I thought you're a computer science major. I thought you have a degree in computer science. I thought you're smart.
Yeah.
Yes, I am, but I have no idea what's going on
Well,
with
maybe
you.
not smart, but yes, he went through all that stuff.
I tried. Have you turned it off and on again? That's as far as I know, sir.
Yeah. Well, it's just like you come at me with a blanket statement. If you give me a lot of background, maybe, and approach it that way at the very beginning, I will be more inclined to help if you give me like all the background knowledge and stuff like that. But for, I guess, a regular person, it's hard to know what background knowledge is needed because you don't think about a lot of things in the way that we.
Right, but I mean, we like it's just, I guess for us, it's more of the fact that we have the experience with working with computers and those problems rising, and we fixed it. Like, for example, like, oh, my internet's not connecting. Have you contacted Xfinity? I don't know. Like,
Yeah.
because last time that happened to me, I contacted Xfinity. Like, those are the things I will tell you is what if that has happened in the past, how did I fix it? And that's it. There's nothing that we learned on these things. But we can vent about this all day long. We should move on to the next thing.
Just want to last thought. If I hear, but I thought you were good with computers, one more time, bro, I'm gonna yeet the shit out the window. It's fucking ridiculous. All
You are getting blocked if
right.
you come at me saying, I thought you were good with computers. I will hack you.
Yeah, and that brings us to people who ask you to hack things. That's just a ridiculous favor to ask of somebody else. Because most of the time you're asking for something that's illegal, right? Like, do you understand what you're asking? Like, do you think I'm just like not hearing to the
It's
law?
100% of the time.
Like, if I asked you to rob a store with me, would
If
you do it?
exactly, like hey, do you think you can come rob the store with me real quick? No. And neither I know how. I've never done it. I never will. It's just It's just, I don't know, it's just very interesting. It's funny because like it doesn't help how much I'm actually into cybersecurity. Like I got placed 94th out of 4,000 people in a national competition. I placed third in like a more local competition. It's just nothing had to do with hacking someone's Facebook. Please, please, I beg everyone listening, do not tell someone who's a computer science major to hack something. It is illegal. It is dumb to ask. And 90% of the time, it's not possible. Like, think about it, right? It's like asking someone to rob a bank, right? You think the bank is just wide open for you to go in and rob it? There is security. They will catch you. There's cameras. There's literally the same thing in the cyber world.
It's a
Literally, like when you tell someone to hack like someone's Instagram or Facebook, they have security measures to catch you if
Well,
you're
there's a
doing it.
caveat to it.
It's not.
It's like when you ask that, could I figure out how to hack something? Well, maybe. It depends on how much time I have and how much investment I actually have in it. But like the time to take is most likely a complete waste of time.
Yes, because I mean, as technology gets bigger and bigger, right? Then there is less and less doors to get through for hacking. And there is a lot and a lot of ways of getting caught. In earlier episodes, we talked about, for example, the Twitter hack,
Yeah, that's
right?
crazy.
That took lots and lots of effort, and the person now is in jail.
Yeah, he didn't even get that much money out of it.
So
I should have.
he didn't get, he got maybe a
No.
couple
Well, he got a
thousand and
couple
now he's in
thousand,
jail.
I think.
Why? Yeah, but I mean, did he though? Because he
Yeah.
had to pay it
Well,
back now. So I'm gonna go ahead and say he
yeah.
didn't get shit, but a couple years in jail. So it's not possible, and I will not hack shit for you. It's that
Yeah, so
simple of
Ollie,
that.
after being enlightened, did you have an original perception of the nerdy programming kids?
know, I did, but I very much fell into that, stereotype that computer scientists are just basically IT. Like they can help me fix my computer if
Yeah,
shit
fix
goes
my
wrong.
computer, nerd.
But now, well, getting to know you all during undergrad really did open up my eyes to computer science and the intricacies of the industry and some of the work that you all do. Still, I still think it's wizardry, but
Yeah, we do too. It's
but
crazy.
yeah, I feel like I have a better grasp of what you all do now.
Yeah, and we appreciate that. And if,
And that's why we're here, to educate you that I'm not an IT person.
And I really hope that I gave you some insight that allows you to see what the agriculture industry
Yeah, now I realize you're not just a good old yeehaw
is like.
farmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy how they all intermingle like that.
Yeah.
And I want to bring another point up. If you went through undergrad and you had CS friends, you're a real one. Because we went through a lot of shit. So, yeah, I just wanted to formally put that out there. Please do not ask your programming friends to fix your computer. Gotta love it. Do you guys have anything else to add to this episode?
Yes, and also to add on to that, do not ask them to hack and do not tell them that you have an app idea unless you have $1 million to back it up.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, I just want to thank you all for having me. This is fun having a discussion about our industries. And I learned a lot.
Yeah, we did too. Thank you very much, Ollie.
As well.
Well, I think that's it for us. Thank you for listening to this episode. We really appreciate it getting through episode 8 here. It's fucking huge. It's kind of crazy. But anyways, you can visit our website. We are still continually working on the website, trying to add new features. You guys are going to see some new stuff, I think, around episode 9 time. But that's www.techplusplus.podcast.com. Give it a link. Also follow us on social media. We're on Instagram at Tech Plus Plus Podcast. That's Tech PLUS Podcast. And then email us. We'll answer questions hopefully on the pod. If you have a question or a general thought, maybe a comment, that would be great. Email us at techpluspluspodcast@gmail.com. So yeah, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you guys for listening. Have a good one. Thank you all for coming.
Bye.
Bye.